This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to be patrolling the hallways. Mary Kay, she's patrolling the hallways with the Cleveland Browns. She's wondering whether or not Devontae Adams could be a Cleveland Brown. Forget Pittsburgh. Mary Kay, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Could Devontae Adams be coming here?
You know what? I don't think it's a realistic possibility, in part because I think he has some places that he'd really like to go. I think he really would like to be reunited with Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr. I think he wants to be very judicious in his next move. I know he wants to be happy. I know he wants to win. I'm not entirely certain that, that it's something that he would want to do. I don't know that he wouldn't want to do it. I just know that he kind of seems to have a short list of places he would like to go. But I think the point in this is that if the Browns inquire, and I believe they either have or will, then I think it just shows that they're trying to do everything that they can to win, not only this year, but going forward. We know Amari Cooper's contract is up after this year. They have some decisions to make in their receiver room. And whenever a player like this becomes available, you have to check on it.
Is there a time in the season where that would no longer be the case? Like, could they at all this season liquidate assets if things keep going south?
I suppose they possibly could, but the trade deadline is November 5th. So the time to make some of those decisions is fast approaching. You've got to lay the groundwork for any trades that you might want to make coming up here in the next couple of weeks. You've got to be on the phone. You've got to be working the phones and seeing what you might be able to do or want to do. But I don't think they're at that point yet. I think they're at the point of they believe, especially with the Ravens at 2-2 and the Bengals at 1-3, that they're still in this thing. They're certainly not out of it. If they can go win these next two games, then they're right back at 500. And if you can hover around 500, anything can happen when you get it together.
I'm Mary Kay. We do know they were involved, at least. This wasn't just a local thing. I mean, national people were talking about it, too, the Brandon Ayuk situation. So, you know, they are big game hunting. They seem to always be in on that. I guess my question is, like, financially, if you trade for Devontae Adams, like, he's looking for a new contract, right? So now you have to make him one of the highest paid wide receivers in football. And, I mean, at what point does that become kind of problematic for their cap situation?
Well, yes, that's the huge factor with Devontae Adams, is that you would have to do the redo and you would be looking at a ton of money over the next several years in the extension. So that's a big factor to consider. Again, I don't know if it's a realistic option. I don't know how heavily they are into it at all. But once again, I think there's change afoot, it seems, in the receiver realm, not just in Cleveland, but all around. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins could move. Devontae Adams could move. Others could move. And I think it's good that they pushed back the trade deadline, because teams will start to know by then, are they going somewhere this season or are they not? But I do think that when you look at the Browns right now, they need more production, obviously, out of their passing game. And I think they'll do everything that they can to at least take a look at that.
Is it true teams have called already about Amari Cooper?
Well, I'm sure they have. When you see a player like that who's in the final year of his contract, and you might be a team that just needs that piece, and you know you're going somewhere, yes, you would probably make that phone call. So I would not be surprised about that at all.
All right, Mary Kay, you were there yesterday. We played a bunch of the clips from the Deshaun Watson press conference. As you were trying to read him, you've had a chance to talk to him, ask questions. How do you think this is going for him right now? Because we thought, this show did, that he played well on Sunday. In my mentions, fans are like, you call that well? So clearly, we are split on the Deshaun Watson experience from week to week, and how do you think he's handling it all?
I think he's handling it really well. I thought yesterday when I asked him, was he interested in someone like Davante Adams coming here, I thought he did a really nice job of throwing all of his faith and confidence into Amari Cooper and the guys in his room, because that's what they need right now. They all need to know that they're one and that they're together, and you know that's the way that they're going to dig out of this hole. But when I look at the first four games of the season, I really think there are so many contributing factors. I think he did play well in that game. I don't think that he got the help that he needed. He obviously didn't get the protection that he needed in some instances. He didn't get the catch that he needed from Amari over the middle. He didn't get the clean play that he needed on the touchdown. And then some things happened on that fourth and three that just didn't go well either. So they're in a situation where not every single person has been able to help out the way that they need to. But I think the signs are there that it can get better. They just have to do this really, really fast because time's a-wasting.
What do we expect out of Nick Chubb in terms of the timeline coming back here now?
I would give him most of that 21 days to come back. You don't want to rush it and then find out that it was too soon. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I would give him most of the 21 days, get him back sometime over the next 3 weeks, and then I would ease him into the lineup. I hope that people aren't expecting to see four-time Pro Bowl Nick Chubb in week one, the minute that he's back. I mean, he's Nick, and he's superhuman in so many ways. But I think, once again, I've said this many times before, I think people need to temper the enthusiasm just a little bit, let him ease his way back in. I think the Browns will need to let him get fewer reps than he normally would have when he was starting, and just see where it can go. And then hopefully towards the end of the season, when you really need him in the home stretch, hopefully for them, they'll still be in it. And in the playoffs, he'll be rounding into peak form.
Mary Kay, are we seeing the full brunt of the Ken Dorsey offense right now, or are we still, you know, weeks away from having it all be fully integrated?
It's a work in progress. When you roll out a new scheme like this, you have to find out what works, who works in it, who's shining, who's not. I mean, look.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Elijah Moore got one target in that game. Cedric Tillman was supposed to be a very big part of this offense this year, and he didn't get any targets in that game. Now, it's easier to get targets when you're converting third downs and staying on the field and running more plays, obviously. But it just hasn't gone the way that they thought it would in the early going. And part of that, too, is that David Njoku hasn't been out there, and that's really hurt. I mean, he was one of the biggest targets on this offense for the first four games, and he just hasn't been there.
So what is it? I'm sorry, Mary Kay. Is it like a Stefanski problem calling plays? Is it a Dorsey problem? Do they just not jive with each other? I mean, what is it?
Well, it's easier to call plays when you can block up front and when you've got your tight end and when your number one receiver is going right and when your quarterback has shaken off the rust. So none of those things have really happened yet. So I don't think it's time for Kevin Stefanski to give up the plays. I think it's time for everyone to go out there and see, let's see what happens when David's back. Let's see if Amari is the Giants Amari this week. Let's see if maybe they can't find a way to get Elijah a little bit more involved. I really don't think that it's time to give up the play calling. It's been very, very difficult to get this offense accomplished with the blocking the way that it's been.
Mary Kay, we were wondering what kind of defensive season we would get out of these guys after Jim Schwartz, before the year, talked about making sure that that fire is lit, that they have to be better, and that they can't be predictable the way that maybe they were in the playoff game. And yet here we are, you know, 4 weeks through the year, the easy part of the schedule, and you know, Daniel Jones kind of carved them up. And at times, Gardner Minshew and that offensive attack for the Raiders without Davante Adams carved them up. What is going on with the defense right now?
Well, I don't think they were as battle-tested last year as they needed to be, and things are tougher this year, and they're going to get tougher still. So I think this defense is going to have to dig deep. I think tackling sometimes is a want-to. I think it's you have to find your hustle. You have to find your motor because you can't always practice it. I really do believe that those guys are going to have to find their inner tacklers and really turn up the motor on that and make sure. I mean, they're going to be going against the number three rushing team in the NFL this weekend, and they're going to have to wrap up and tackle so much better than they did, obviously, in Vegas. So that's one thing. And then up front, they just need to get more pressure from more people. You know, you just can't rely on Myles Garrett. He had the only two sacks in that game and three of the four quarterback hits. Deshaun was hit 11 times in that game. Gardner Minshew was hit four times, and three of those came from Myles. So you've got to get your pressure from elsewhere. And if you have to do it by blitzing more or whatever you have to do, they've got to dial up the pressure. They've got to be more disruptive, and that's got to start this weekend. I just think everyone on that defense needs, because they're, for the most part, they're pretty healthy on defense. Jordan Hicks left that game, and that hurt them. He's one of their best defensive players this year. But they all have to look in the mirror and find the will to win and to go out there and dominate.
How will this offensive line look on Sunday? What will it be comprised of?
Well, hopefully for them, they'll get some of those guys back in practice today, and then they'll have a shot to play. Jed, Jack, and Ethan did not play. When you look at that offensive line from last week, they didn't have Jed, they didn't have Jack, they did not have Ethan, and they did not have Wyatt Teller. If anybody told you you were going to go into a football game without any of those guys, I think you would have known that would be a challenge. So if they can get those three guys back, they'll be in much better shape to go out and win a football game. Losing Ethan in that game hurt them a ton. He's one of the best centers in the NFL. And then, of course, we can see that DeJuan Jones is struggling. I mean, he's just not himself yet. I don't know if Jack's ready to go out there and play some right tackle, but I certainly think it might help if they could shore things up on the edges. Right now, I think a lot will be determined by when we go out there today and see who's practicing.
Is DeJuan Jones injured, or what's going on?
I think he is having a little bit of a tough time coming back from his torn MCL, and he's not using it as an excuse. He's not complaining about it. But the thing is, with some of these guys, when you spend a whole offseason rehabbing and you're not in football shape and maybe you're not even in conditioning shape, it does impact you early on in the season. So I think some of these things are working against him. And then, of course, I also think that he does miss Bill Callahan. I think that Bill was really, really hard on him, but in such a way that it brought out the best in him. And that's why I actually thought it was kind of good that Deshaun and Jameis took it upon themselves to try to scream the best out of DeJuan the other day, because they're trying to say, look, we need you to be that guy you can be. And I think he's trying. I know he's trying. He wants to be great. That's the good part about it. He's very, very coachable, and he has the desire to be great. But he really hasn't hit his stride yet this season.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. David Njoku, yes or no for Sunday?
I'm going to say yes.
And I think there we go. Much needed help. Come on, the Chief.
And I think that's going to help tremendously. I think they've really missed him. Even on some of those red zone plays, those end zone plays, those fourth down plays, I think he would have really, really helped them, not just in the passing game, but in the blocking game. They really need him. And you know, when you have the first quarter of the season when your top two targets just really aren't there for you consistently, that's going to be a long road.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. Lima, anything to add? I thought you were leaning towards your microphone.
Mary Kay, Mary Kay, 5.5 wins has been the adjusted total for the Cleveland Browns.
That's too long of a question.
What in the world? Mary Kay, come on. How much money do we have to pool together? They're getting 6 wins.
We're not.
Come on.
You can't just sit there and bet on 6 wins.
Yes, we can.
And
how much?
Second thing
10 grand. I need 10 grand,
Mary
Kay.
What a terrible bar to set.
I really need 10 grand.
What a terrible bar to set. 6 wins? We're trying to find 6 wins. If they try to find 6 wins, we're in a lot of trouble here. Mary Kay, thank you so much
Maybe
for the
15
time.
Maybe 15 grand.
God bless you. Take care.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.